It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Imagine it's the future and you're riding down the road in your autonomous vehicle when suddenly it starts to rain heavily. Your vehicle wakes you up and says it doesn't feel comfortable driving in the conditions and asks you to take the wheel. That responsible robotic action is one of the thoughts behind a recent workshop that examined how engineers can create safe and controlled artificial intelligence technologies. William Sherless is the director of the Institute for Software Research at Carnegie Mellon University's School of Computer Science, and he recently returned from Washington. He joins us in studio to talk about the concept and the cooperation from the White House with regard to this workshop. Bill Sherless, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh at wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Bill Sherless, I think we're all in love with the idea of the autonomous vehicle or driverless car, and apparently the White House is too. Its Office of Science and Technology Policy worked with CMU to coordinate meetings, apparently in Washington and here. And so what does President Obama or someone representing the president saying about what we've brought you here to discuss?
So there's a part of the White House which is called the Office of Science and Technology Policy. And they are the advisor to the president regarding science and technology matters. And it's become clear to them that the use of artificial intelligence in all kinds of systems, not just vehicles, but also, for example, in advising decision-making in healthcare, in optimizing the use of the power grid. There are many, many applications of this technology, and they're all beginning to emerge into the marketplace. That kind of got on their radar, and the question was asked, and it's been asked by very prominent people, including Bill Gates and Elon Musk and even Stephen Hawking. What are the prospects for safety with respect to this technology? And the scenario that you started with is, in fact, a very good one. You're, you know, hurtling down the Pennsylvania Turnpike at night in the rain. You're in a construction site.
You're sleeping. You're like, oh, right. I'm so confident in this technology, I think I'll take a nap.
Exactly. You're sleeping. You're watching a movie. You're distracted. You're focused on something else. And what you would like is for the autonomous vehicle to kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, it's time for you to take over. I'm at the limits of my capability. And you want that to happen with enough warning that you can kind of wake up and get your attention focused on the highway and your hands on the wheel, and you're not in a panicky state when you're responding to that
right.
situation.
Right. You want the calm robotic voice so you don't wake up and you're too startled or, God forbid, have a heart attack, which, you know, would be entirely possible in that scenario. But, you know, for a lot of us who are not well-educated in science, but are curious about it, our minds immediately go to science fiction. And I think for a lot of us old enough to remember 2001, which is a movie that anybody can see nowadays, but here we go. You're pulling out some of the pop culture images of robots and robotics. But for a lot of us, HAL kind of sums it all up. HAL was the computer that ran the spacecraft, that ran the space station in 2001. And famously took control, decided that he would take control rather than take orders. And I'm ascribing a gender to it because it spoke in a male voice. Has that kind of science fiction created fears in people when it comes to this kind of thing? Because I have to tell you, I cannot envision a day when I would be able to sleep while the car was just going by itself down the road.
So in fact, this image of our technology overtaking us and controlling us and dominating us has been with us for a very, very long time. It goes back more than 100 years. In fact, there was a play written by a playwright, Karl Čapek, called RUR, Rossum's Universal Robots. That was actually when the word robot was coined.
Huh.
And then Isaac Asimov, famously in the 40s, wrote a book called I, Robot. And he in that book codified three rules of robotic behavior, which basically meant to respect humans and human needs ahead of the needs of the robots. That's in the 40s. But even more than 50 years ago in the 60s, there was a comic book series called Magnus Robot Fighter, 4000 AD. And his job was, through various heroic acts, to try to rescue mankind from its robotic overlords. So this is a meme that has been around for a very long time. And you know, so now we have finally hit the point with our artificial intelligence systems that we're seeing this capability deployed in a very wide range of situations. And so it's natural to feel that fear. But I have to say something about these systems.
Sure.
You know, the earlier successes, for example, were in very narrow applications. For example, playing chess. So the chess playing systems were extremely smart, and they've become even smarter over the years.
Well, didn't the computer beat Kasparov, the great chess champion?
Exactly. So computer chess playing is now, you know, off the charts. And recently, there's another game called Go, which is, some thought, even much more challenging for a computer to play than chess. That one has been mastered.
Right.
And so the point is that these are narrow applications. The chess-playing system doesn't know anything about anything other than chess. Its entire cognition, so to speak, is the rules of chess and nothing more. And so the vehicle control system in your autonomous vehicle knows about the world and environment in which the vehicles operate. But even then, we're struggling to broaden the scope of what it can represent in its reasoning. And so those fears really have to do with kind of the notion of a superhuman intelligence that can encompass understanding of the full scope of human behavior. We are nowhere close to that.
So, but having said that, and you would certainly know more than I, but you know, the questions that come to mind, especially when you're talking about artificial intelligence, just the very idea that it's intelligent. You talked about reasoning. So what this does is it makes people wonder, if robots can think, can that create problems? You know, if they're reasoning, if they're thinking things through, could they conceivably come to a conclusion, this artificial intelligence apparatus that could potentially harm us, perhaps through no fault of the artificial intelligence?
Well, many technological systems already can harm us, and I don't think at this point, with the current kinds of systems that are being developed and deployed, that there's any kind of significant shift in the kinds of dangers. But there are certain things that we do have to think about. For example, a robotic vehicle. You could say, as to the engineers, for example, who are designing the AI system within the vehicle, you could say there's a rule that needs to be respected 100% of the time. And that is, when there is a pedestrian in a crosswalk, the vehicle shall stop. Mm. Okay, and we can say, okay, well, how does this bit of computing know what is a pedestrian?
Mm.
And you can develop image recognition, so you can parse an image from a camera and say, all right, that looks like a person, that looks like a person, that looks like a person walking. But in fact, in the workshop, there were some examples shown of, well, they're mannequins in the windows of the stores.
Oh,
they're
wow.
recognized as people. There's a person in a wheelchair in the crosswalk, not recognized as a person, right? And so—
What about if it's a dog?
Or a dog. So we have to really work with, work to develop our the cognition so that the full range of these things can be recognized by the systems.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Bill Shirless. He's director of the Institute for Software Research at Carnegie Mellon University School of Computer Science. He has been working with the White House, CMU and the White House, collaborating on this concept and dialogue regarding how best artificial intelligence can be used. And because you were at the formative stage in the development and deployment of AI systems, what kind of opportunities, now that we're kind of worked through the fear part, what are the opportunities? What are the exciting things that that you can create to develop this?
Well, actually, it's interesting that the workshop that we that we co-hosted with the White House, which was yesterday and the day before, is actually one of a series of four workshops that they are co-hosting with various organizations. And there was one, for example, that was 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C., and that was focused on artificial intelligence for social good. In fact, people were talking about how machine learning systems can observe, for example, traffic patterns. In Pittsburgh, we're familiar with bad traffic patterns.
Yes,
there's some
we
good
are.
Ones, right? And so, in fact, one of the talks there focused on traffic in East Liberty, in the East Liberty area, and on the basis of observations of the flows, the timing of the traffic signals can be adjusted to optimize the flow of vehicles. Now, that's an old idea. What's new is that we can make dynamic changes in response to what's actually going on in the neighborhood. So that's a very simple idea of social good, very almost trivial idea. But there are a number of grander ideas that were also discussed. But there were two other workshops. One had to do with legal issues. If you're autonomous vehicle gets into a traffic accident of some kind.
I didn't even think about that.
Who's like, responsible?
Yeah, I was going to say, who is responsible?
Right, and there's a tremendous amount of discussion and consideration of that. I mean, we have a very well-developed system of managing risks and liabilities on the road, but there are other applications where we don't have such a well-developed capability and understanding. And so we have to understand the legal implications of systems that are it looks like they're making their own decisions, but in fact, they're making decisions on the basis of learning from data and also on the basis of choices made by engineers.
Well, I mean, there's the whole insurance issue, and I'm guessing that there would be, you know, a whole kind of complicated issues surrounding liability. If someone is, if an entity or a company is overseeing how the artificial intelligence works, then they would have to be responsible, I would think, if something goes wrong, because the driver, the human driver, if they're not at the controls, how can they be responsible unless they're the ones programming the robot, which, you know, the mind is sort of getting dizzy thinking about it.
Well, the one thing I really enjoyed about our workshop was we got to focus really on the technical issues.
And not have to worry about all this other stuff.
And not being a lawyer, I could, you know, give you an opinion on that question, which is a very fundamental and good question. I don't think that opinion would be very useful to people. But I think that the challenge that we really took up, and this is very important, is as we start to develop and deploy these AI-based systems, can we create an engineering culture where we consider safety first? So as we contemplate a new use for AI, we should also be contemplating exactly what does it take to keep the system safe? What does it mean for the system to be safe? Safety depends on the context in which we're using that system.
And before we wrap up, Mayor Peduto is very big on this kind of technology, as I'm sure you're aware, and he's banking on it being an integral part of Pittsburgh's transportation future. Is that a good bet on his part?
I think it's a great bet. I think there's a lot going on in Pittsburgh that relates to this, the work in robotics, the work in vehicles. But there's also a lot of sort of less glamorous work behind the scenes in the research labs at the university having to do with how we actually do the engineering. How do we build these AI algorithms and machine learning systems so that they're not going to learn bad habits? And that's less glamorous. You don't see, you know, objects that are moving around. But in fact, that is at the foundation of this challenge that we're taking on with safe artificial intelligence.
Bill Shirless is director of the Institute for Software Research at Carnegie Mellon University's School of Computer Science. Bill, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for visiting with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.